So thanks for coming up, everybody. Grab your seats. Today, as we delve into Genesis 25, verses 19 to 34, it's a lot of reading, but we're following along with the reading plan that we've been doing, and then we've got a message that teaches and unfolds a powerful narrative about our choices and the consequences of those choices in an eternal perspective of God's that God calls us to adapt. The title of this message, to make it easier for the person to put it online, Sell Out of Your Birthrights, A Recipe for Disaster. And if you haven't already heard it, you'll see why. Let's jump straight into the text. Have we got it up on the screen, please? Genesis 25, 19 to 34, and I am going to read it quickly. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Awesome, it's on there. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, and Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban and Aramean. It made it really hard for me to read this really quickly, but you can go back, you can get the right pronunciation online. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife, which is a really clever thing to do. Go to the Lord and plead with him. Because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered, because that's how great our God is. He answered Isaac's prayer and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. Double blessing. Phew. But the two children struggled with each other in the mother's womb. So she went back to the Lord and asked about it, which is a really clever thing to do as well. Why is this happening to me? She said, and the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. Pretty cool. From the beginning, the two nations will be rivals. Not quite so cool. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son, which was not the culture of the day, as we'll read further on. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. Woohoo! How exciting! The first one was very red at birth and covered in thick fur and like a fur coat. Very mysterious. So they named him Esau. And then the twin brother who was born had his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. Are we all following so far? I'm reading mostly in English. Awesome, because this can sound like a rap message I'm reading so fast. Esau then sells his birthright, as we're told in Scripture. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. Very cool. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, like me, and that's okay too. Repeated preschool because I didn't speak for the year. Anyway, people preferred to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game that Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking the stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, and he was very hungry. So he's been out hunting. He's hurt. He's come home, and he smelled Esau cooking the stew. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. And Rebekah stepped across and said, no one gets nothing unless you ask politely. No, she didn't say that, but that's what she meant to say. But this is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. All right, replied Jacob, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first, you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Must have been some impressive stew, right? Anyway, Esau ate the meal. He got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn in that action right there. Esau, picture this, exhausted, hungry, returns back from the field. He's the hunter, only to encounter an incredible aroma that was simply irresistible that his brother Jacob had prepared. Focused on the immediate physical need, Esau's willing to trade his birthright. Now, the birthright has to do with position as an inheritance. By birthright, the firstborn son inherited the leadership of the family and the judicial authority of the father. Esau gave all of this to his brother. He sold out for a bowl of lentil stew. Question marks I've got all over my page right there. Judgment I've got going on all in here. But let's not be too hasty to judge Esau. Because in our fast, instant gratification culture, we often find ourselves facing similar choices. Ouch. The allure of immediate satisfaction can blind us to the long-term consequences of our decisions, which leads me to ponder, and I'm going to own it, what have I sold out for? What have I changed? Maybe it's not fully my birthright, but maybe it's just my influence. Maybe it's just my position or ability to speak into something. What have I sold that out for? But I know I'm in good company because maybe, perhaps, you could ask yourselves, what have you sold out for? For you, it might not be a bowl of stew. I would be very surprised if it is. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it, to give away your rights, your authority, or your influence for a bowl of stew. We're instructed and reminded in Romans 8, for the visual team that just went, so Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, that we are adopted. If you never knew, you're adopted as God's children, and we all have rights and authority in Christ. It says in Romans 14 to 18, I'm hoping it comes up on the screen, for all are led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for this Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are His children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we were to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Ooh. Sounds like a weird encouragement, right? If we were to be heirs in God's glory and possess all that He has for us, we must also share in Christ's suffering. What's your area of service to mankind? We can suffer for ministry when we pray things like this. And if you want to be brave, you could say something in your heart, in your spirit right now or a little bit later. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, I want to see things the way you see them. I want my heart and my actions to line up with what you do and how you are. God, I thank you that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And would you allow me to be part of what you're doing here on earth, right here and now? Bold prayer if you'd ever like to join me in it. Now, the word sold out, because that's what happened here. Sold out birthright. And we don't understand this in our culture, and I'm trying to frame it up really quickly. But our birthright, sold out for a bowl of stew. Sold out can also mean different things in different contexts. So really quickly, I'm going to power on. Sold out can also mean we've run out of things in the shop or goods. There's no more. They've run out. They've sold out of stock that they've had. But this morning, before we go on, I want to let you know that God never runs out. He never sells out. He never lacks. In fact, He's never sold out in love. Here's something I want to share. 1 James 4, verse 8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He doesn't sell out of resources. Psalms 50, 10 to 12. And you can go back and check these and spend some time meditating and pondering on these scriptures. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all of the world is mine and everything in it. He can't run out of resources. Everything is His. He doesn't sell out of time because He's eternal. He never sells out of wisdom or knowledge or power or strength or generosity. As we can read all of this in Isaiah 40, verses 20. 28 to 31, and for the sake of time, can I encourage you, church, can I trust you to go home and read that scripture, that portion of scripture, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, because it encompasses all of that. And thank you, God, that you never run out of grace. Despite Esau's impulsive and poor choice, the Bible records that Esau never even found repentance. That's not an indication of God's lack of grace. God's redemptive plan still continues today and forevermore, proving His ability to restore and bless even when we falter. Which brings me to the third definition of sold out, being fully convinced and fully committed. What are you unwaveringly committed to, church? What have you fully decided for? What are you sold out for? What are you sold out for that this God that never runs out? You can't outlive Him, you can't outlove Him, you can't outgive Him, and you can't outdo Him in any way, shape, or form. Now, that's a God I want to be sold out for. That's a God I want to partner with and do whatever He's doing right here on earth. Build your kingdom, Lord. This great news is that we have the opportunity to partner with what God's doing here on the earth, right here, right now, making eternal difference by serving and using the gifts and abilities and the authority that we have as disciples of Christ. Now, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures really quickly. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's the Great Commission. Jesus came and He told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach the new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love even more so Luke 9, 1 to 2, and I hope these are coming up. Check them out at home as well. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them, is that on there? And gave them power. He called his disciples together, gave them the power and the authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Church, as followers of Christ, you are disciples. As disciples of Christ, you have the power and the authority to work and move in the ways that he releases. And if so, please don't settle for anything less. Please don't sell that out. Grab hold of that authority. Grab hold of that power. Grab hold of that ability to speak into spaces. And if that's still not enough to excite and stir your spirit and motivate you for sold out kingdom living, Jesus in John 14 verse 12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Put your hand up if you're a believer of Jesus in here today. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater because I'm going to be with the Father. Church, Jesus changed the world. He came in and he flipped society upside down, the way things were viewed, the way things were done. He was sold out for God the Father. He nurtured and focused his correction as God, with God, and didn't compromise what God had for him by selling out. And church, may I encourage you not to do the same. Or to do the same, not to sell out, to live in everything that you have. This morning, here in church, we have the various departments around the room, and you'll see that in a moment, that can let you know how to connect to the body of Christ, to here at JC Family Church, and be part of the team that will prayerfully strengthen your faith walk as you serve. If you're not already connected to a team, can I encourage you to please have that question rolling off your mouth, how can I be part of what God's doing in your department in this area? How can I help? But how can I be sold out and serving? And as you do that, watch the transformation that happens in your lives and the lives of those that you speak into as you have, you're partnering with the God of eternity. As I started, we need kids in kids' church. So please make sure that you ask the kids' team, can I be on a roster? What can I do to help out, nurture these beautiful young people in the areas of faith? If you're not here in the church, in the building today, but would love to be involved in attending and serving here at JC Family Church or in your local community, because we've got people all over the world, please get in touch. We're about to go to a different screen. Please look up jcfamily.com.au. Find out how to connect to the church. Find out how we can be part of that. Find out how you can grow in your relationship and find out how you can serve. Shoot us a message through the website because I would love to follow up and make sure you are being all you can be in your community. So with that, Heavenly Father, I know this has been a really fast message. I pray that the words and Holy Spirit, you've slowed that down and made it digestible. May we take these words, your words, the biblical words, and know who we fully are in you. May we never question our identity, our authority, our power that we can have in you. Lord God, please correct us when we're off track. But Lord God, fan that flame that you've birthed in us. Excite our spirits and let us be part of what you're doing right here, right now, for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, and all the church said.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service. We are praying for you and we will see you next week.